Selling. And if you missed any of those, you can find them on the podcast at wayoflife.church. We have it for iTunes and for Google Play. And you can get that on your phone. If you subscribe, then you always get the updated versions of our lessons and sermons. And so you can catch up on that. This week, we're going to start a new lesson. It's not going to be a long series, but just want to deal with a subject that is so important to us. And I've kind of talked about it several times over the last couple of weeks, but I feel impressed very strongly that we need to really press in to prayer. It is so important for us to pray like never before. And I believe as the world grows worse and worse, as the Bible says it will, as the times begin to change, circumstances begin to come against what is truth, and our culture begins to try to collapse in on what the church stands for, we need as a church to pray like never before. And it's not only a necessity, but it is a privilege. What a privilege it is to have the ability to go to prayer and know that God is listening, that God is hearing us, that God cares about our circumstance. He knows who we are. And so I believe it is so powerful for us to understand that this action of prayer is not just a frivolous activity. It's not just a conversation into the air. It's not just just words and syllables and sounds, but it is the power of God working through us. And He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so we understand that through this relationship that we have, now we have access. And I am calling this lesson an audience with the King. An audience with the King. And our text is 1 Timothy 6:13. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times past he shall show who is the blessed and holy potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And then Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. And then Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. It is a privilege to have an audience with a King. It always helps to know somebody. You know, the old cliche is, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Because if you have the access to the right people, then the information that you need is available. The access that you need is available. When I first arrived here in Hurst, one of the first things that Bishop did is that we got together on that first day that I was in the office, and we went down and we went to the bank. In fact, we went to two different banks. We went to Chase, and that's where we have our just normal checking function. And he introduced me to the account manager that he had been dealing with for a long time. And so he introduced me. We made the change of the account, put my signature on there, and all that sort of thing. But it was a process of introduction. Then when we left there, we went to Liberty Bank, which has now changed names. I can't remember the new name now. But anyway, and he introduced me to Mr. Waters, which is the vice president, or was the vice president of Liberty Bank. I assume he's still there. I hadn't been in a little while since they changed names. But he introduced me to him. And through him, there has been access to funds, to purchase a house, to do all this stuff. Why? Because we had a relationship. And so he had that relationship with Mr. Waters. And therefore, he transferred that relationship to me. And so I went in and discussed things with him on numerous occasions. And because of that access, there was the ability to do financial transactions. And now I know we could have done that other places and other ways, but when you have that access, then there is a power of that. It's not always what you know, it's who you know. And there's other times in life that you have an inside track to different access that you need, and it helps. But many times we do not take advantage of the greatest inside track that the world has ever known, in that we have access to the very King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one that created everything. Everything exists by Him and through Him. Everything that was made for Him and by Him and through Him. He upholds everything by the word of His power. He is the great God of the universe. There is none beside Him. There is none after Him. There was none before Him. There is none like Him. He is the highest. He is the greatest. And so here we are. We are these finite creatures. This clay pot is really what the Bible says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels is what the Bible calls it. And so here we are. We are just finite creatures. Yet we have the access, we have the privilege on a daily basis, any day, any night, any time. We don't have to make an appointment. We can, by the name of Jesus, we can march in, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can have access to the very ear of the King. Can you imagine, in an earthly sense, if you had that kind of access to someone in power, that you could just walk into their office anytime, day or night, and you could say, "Hey, I've got a problem, can you handle it?" And they would pick up the phone and they'd call whoever needed to handle it, and they would handle it, right? Can you imagine that? But yet, here we are Christians, and we live so far below our privilege that we neglect prayer. And sometimes we go through life, many times we go through life with all of these concerns, with all of these doubts, with all of these fears, with all of these worries, and we carry this weight, but yet God has said, "Hey, why don't you come to me? Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you strength. I will give you answers." But yet we stay on the outside and we don't enter into the throne room. And God is wanting us to realize that we have this ability, this power. And so our church has power through prayer. Our preaching, our teaching has power through prayer. Your life, your home is blessed through prayer. It is so powerful that we would understand that God has given us access. He has given us the ability to come boldly before His throne. Now, in our own righteousness, we have no access. But by His blood and by His power, by His mercy, He has given us access to come in to His presence. There's power. There's power in prayer. Amen. Amen. I heard a testimony of a minister the other day, and he was talking about the prayers of his mother. And when he was a young man, just over the age of 18, he was still living at home, but yet he was not where he was supposed to be spiritually. He had moved away from the church. And so he would go out and he would be partying and doing the things that he wanted to do. And he said, when I would come home, I would try to sneak in and I would try to make sure my mother didn't see me or hear me or smell my breath because I had been drinking. But I would find her. She would always be in the same place. She would be kneeling down by her window, which is on the front of the house, and she'd be praying for me until she heard me come in. He said many nights when it was cool at night, she would lift the window up. And as I was walking up the sidewalk, I could hear her calling my name in prayer. He said on that last night, I came home and I was sneaking up the stairs. And I couldn't hear her. And I looked in. She was not in her bed. And I looked over by the window. And she was kneeling in her usual place. But she was not breathing. She was not moving. She died there praying for me. He said, I will never forget that feeling. And from that day until this, I have done my best to live for God and to be everything that my mother prayed I would be. And I want you to know that there is power in prayer. You know, sometimes we get frustrated in prayer because things do not happen the way we ask for them to happen, and they do not happen in the time frame that we hope they would happen. But I want you to know that there is not one prayer that is prayed from a sincere heart that is not heard, that is not saved, that is not recognized by God. Now, he does things in his own time. His ways are above our ways. And the things he does is not always the way we would want them to be. But he always does things right. He never makes a mistake. And so we have an audience. We have an audience with the King. And there is power in prayer. And I want you to know that there's also power in private prayer. You know, when we come together, and I think we should, we come together on most Saturday nights and we have prayer at 7 p.m. almost every Saturday night. There's sometimes we have a different schedule, but that's our normal schedule of prayer. And there's something powerful about that. And I love to start my Sunday on Saturday night. I start my Sunday on Saturday night, so I usually come early and I start studying for the next day, and then we stop and we go into prayer, and that's really the beginning of everything that happens on Sunday is Saturday night. And there's power in that, and we should come together for collective prayer. But you know what? The power of my life is not found in collective prayer. That's just an overflow. The real power of my life is private prayer. Because when I get alone with God, then I can say the things that I may not say in front of you. I can reveal some things that I may not want you to hear. Because he already knows them, right? He already knows me. He knows the numbers of hairs on my head, the number of days of my life. He knows everything about me. There is nothing that I have to hide from him. There is no cloak that I can put over myself that would hide my doubts and my fears and my thoughts and my intents. He knows those things. And so when I get alone in prayer and when you get alone in prayer, then there is a beautiful safety because we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Notice, we're not coming before the throne of judgment, but we are coming boldly before the throne of grace. And so we can come there and we can just lift our hands. We can bow our heads. We can kneel. However you want to pray, you can come before the Lord knowing that he already knows. He already knows your frailty. He already knows your mistakes. He already knows the lies, and he already knows the fears, and he already knows the doubts. He knows those things. So there is a beauty in that, that he knows those, but at the same time, he loves you. He loves you. He allows you into his presence, though you are unworthy. And so there's power in private prayer. Matthew 6:6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We must have private prayer time. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be quality time. Now, you don't have to set aside 3 or 4 hours a day. You need to just set aside a consistent prayer time. If you will be consistent in prayer, you will find that your time will increase because you will fall in love with the time that you get to spend with Him. Because the more you know Him, the more you love Him. As I say very often, you know, in human relationships, the cliche is that familiarity breeds contempt, right? Have you heard that? What does that mean? That means the longer you're with someone, the more flaws you find. Because we're human. And guess what? The longer you're with someone, the more flaws they find. So it goes both ways. So it's okay. That's why we're supposed to forgive. That's why we're supposed to give mercy, right? But the difference between spending time with one another and spending time with God is that spending time with one another, we find more flaws. Spending time with God, we find more love. We find more peace. We find more love. We find more perfection. We find more things to love about Him. And so the people that struggle with prayer are people that have not spent time with Him in prayer. That's why the writer could write, "Sweet hour of prayer." That's why the writer could write, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Why? Because they have spent time with Him in prayer. That's why the writer could write, "Let me walk with you, Jesus." Oh, I want you to know that there is such a beautiful relationship that's available that we neglect so often. And as the song says, that we forfeit the peace. We forfeit this power by not praying. And instead of rushing into the throne room of the King, instead of crawling up into His lap, instead of getting His ear and letting Him know what we're going through, we stay on the outside and we try to figure it out on our own. And we're frustrated. We're frustrated. And we find it hard to commit. We find it hard to worship. We find it hard to give. We find it hard to be faithful. Why? Because we're not spending time with Him. Because the more time I spend with Him, the more I recognize my need for Him. The more time I spend with Him, the more I love Him, the more I love what He loves. Right? Amen. The more time I spend with Him, the more I love Him. The more time I spend with Him, the more I love what He loves. So I love truth. Right? I love peace. I love contentment. I love people. I love others. I love the church. He loved the church so much that He gave Himself for it. Amen. I love the church. I love leadership. I love the ministry. I'll tell you, I say this very often as well, that when I have really been praying, when I have prayed through, I never feel more love than I do when I've really prayed. Man, when I really pray, when I really touch God and I look into somebody's eye, I'm like, wow, man, I love them. I love you. I I walk out of prayer on Saturday night, and we stand around here. You know, we end about 8 o'clock and don't get out of here till almost 9 because people are just standing around talking and visiting and laughing and enjoying one another's company. I look at people and say, man, I love you. Man, I love this place. And when I have not been praying, I am critical. When I've not been praying, I don't want to be around anybody. I find it hard. Why? Because the more I pray, the more I love him. The more I love him, the more I love what he loves. But the more I stay away from him, the more carnal I become. And my carnal nature doesn't enjoy the things of God. My carnal nature doesn't enjoy that process that he puts in my life. Oh, so I say, let us pray. If we really want to be the church that transforms our city, that not only transforms Hearst, but also the other churches that we have planted and that we will plant in the future. If we really want to make an impact, we must be a church of prayer. Amen. It's great that we have the truth, and I'm thankful for truth. I think doctrine is so important. It's not a bad word. It is a powerful word. We must have sound doctrine. But the Bible says the letter killeth and the spirit gives life. And where does the spirit come from? The spirit is that connection with the spirit, with God, and that connection is through prayer. If we're really going to have power in our altars, if we're going to have power, transforming power in our services, it's going to come through prayer. And it's not just my prayer. It's not just the ministry's prayer, but it is the whole church. We need to know how to pray. Amen. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But the problem with most people is if, first of all, they don't pray very often. They just ask for stuff. Right? It's like my example, you know, we use God as a drive-through window. When we have need of something, when we're hungry for something, when we have a situation, we pull up and we, oh, well, hey, I would really like this and this and this, and if you'll do that, that'll be great, and make it fast. Right? That's how we treat God sometimes. We treat him like he is our waiter or our fast food attendant there at the drive-thru. We treat him that way, and we only pull up when we need something. And then when something really happens bad, then we run to him, and he's like the emergency room, you know. You don't know anybody in the emergency room, right? Most likely. Unless you just happen to live close to somebody that works in there. You go into the emergency room. It's not your normal doctor. They don't know your name. They don't know your medical history except for what the computer tells them. You don't have any relationship with them. You just run to them saying, I'm hurting, help me, right? And that's how we treat God. We treat God like the emergency room. We treat God like the bank. We pull in and we want to make a withdrawal. And so we only go when we need something. But oh, the power of relationship is so much greater than that. Because we have the opportunity to have an audience with the King. Not just an audience that is very formal, but we have the access of sons and daughters. Amen. We have the access of sons and daughters. There's something about that privilege. Right? There's something about that. I always say, you know, I still have a key to my mother's house. I can go to my mother's house anytime I want to. I don't have to tell her I'm coming. I don't have to call in advance. I don't have to knock on the door. In fact, I don't have a key to the front door. I have a key to the back door. Back door guests are best. The back door is closer to the kitchen. It's closer to the refrigerator. Amen. Amen. Come on now. I have access. Why do I have that access? I have that access through relationship. And so I have access to the good stuff anytime I want to go. And I go in there and I kick my shoes off and I sit back on the couch, put my feet up on the coffee table, and I don't have any fear that my mom is going to come through. You stop that. No, because I'm home. I'm home. And that's the kind of access we have with God. We are sons and daughters. Amen. If we are led of the Spirit, then we are sons and daughters. We have access. So it's not just an audience with the King as we're walking in. Oh, Lord, please don't kill me. Right? It's not Esther going into her husband worried that he is not going to lift the scepter and she's going to die. But no, it's a son and daughter. We run right up. We jump right up on the throne and crawl around if we want to. Right? Because we are sons and daughters. We have access. We have relationship. That's why the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. It's not a humbly, but no, He is our God. He paid the price. He is our Father. He wants us to come boldly. Oh, Daddy, I'm here. And if we have that relationship on a daily basis, there is power, there is authority, and there is access when trouble hits. Amen. There's peace that comes through that. Prayer is effective. Prayer is effective. It is so important that we learn to pray. The reason the church as a whole lacks public manifestation and demonstration of the Spirit is because we have neglected prayer in private moments of self-sacrifice. Open rewards are only promised to those who are willing to privately and secretly commune with God. So prayer is effective. We see Abraham, Genesis 18 and 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, will not destroy it for 10's sake. What is this doing? God had a relationship with Abraham. God looked down and he saw Sodom and Gomorrah and he was frustrated with them. He was angry with them. They were an abomination to his eyes, to his ears, everything about them. He hated it because of their sin. And so he decided he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But he had this conversation. And he said, well, should I hide it from Abraham? Should I just go down and destroy them? But I've got to go talk to my friend. Can you imagine? Abraham had such a close relationship with God that God decided that, hey, I'm going to go talk to Abraham before I do this because I know it's going to affect him because Lot and his family are there. And so he gave his friend, Abraham, the opportunity to pray. And so Abraham started praying. Well, hey, Lord, I know you're going to do this, but if you find 50 righteous people, would you not? Oh, okay. Well, for you, Abraham, because we have a relationship. If I find 50, I won't destroy them. Well, Lord, I know it may be hard to find 50, so what about 40? He's negotiating with God. He's praying. What is he doing? He's interceding. He's interceding. Well, if you could find 30, yes, 20, yes. How about 10, Lord? I think Abraham was thinking, well, there's Lot and his family. I mean, that's the majority of 10. Surely we can find a couple extras just to make up 10. Right? And God said, okay, well, if I find 10, I won't destroy it. But notice this is so powerful. That was the end of Abraham's prayer. You notice he never asked for Lot. He never asked for Lot's family. But God loved Abraham so much that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that which we can ask or think. Listen, this is such a... He had a relationship with God that took him beyond his request, beyond the details of what he asked for, and God gave him what his heart was really wanting. He said, hey, if you just find 10, I won't destroy them if I can find 10. But he couldn't find 10. But he went beyond Abraham's request, and he sent angels in to get Lot and his family. I'll tell you, there's a power in prayer, because we have an audience with the King. And when you have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he will reach down and he will give you things that you don't even know to ask for. He will open doors that you couldn't even find the handle for. He will open opportunities. He will remove obstacles that you didn't even know was there. Because relationship. Because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you could ask or think. It is a powerful relationship when Abraham, first of all, gets an audience with God. God came to see him. And then he asked 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. Yes. It's always yes. And then couldn't find 10. So he said, hey, I'll give him something he didn't ask for. But I know this was really what he was after. He didn't want Lot to die. So he went in to get Lot and his family. Prayer is effective. Amen. So Abraham interceded for Lot, and it was effective. Jacob prayed for a transformation in himself, and it was effective. Genesis 32 and 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. The angel said, and Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Amen. Now, let me give you another principle here. So God gave Abraham more than he asked for. God gave Jacob what he needed instead of what he asked for. Now, notice Jacob's mindset, okay? Jacob's mindset was always about getting a leg up, right? He was a supplanter. He was the heel catcher, the Bible said. And so he was always wanting to one up. He wanted to one up Esau. He wanted to be the firstborn. He held on to Esau's heel as he was being born, the twin. And Esau was born first. So what did he do? He saw an opportunity when Esau was tired and hungry, and he bargained with him for the birthright. And Esau, being a vain man, being a carnal man, did not see the value of the birthright, and so he sold it for a bowl of porridge. And so he exchanged it. He was always looking for the blessing. And then when his father was about to die, and he told Esau, go out and kill a deer and bring it back and prepare it just like I want it, just like I love it. You know how I like it. And so while he was out, Rebekah and Jacob schemed and sent Jacob in for the blessing. Right? And he got the blessing. He was always wanting the blessing. And then he had to run for his life. We're going to talk about that more in the second hour. But he had to run for his life. And when he decided he was going to go home, he went down to the brook. He sent the family on a cross, and he got alone with God. And the Bible says he wrestled all night with the angel. And here, what we read was the end of that story, that the angel, the theophany of God, said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, oh, I will not let you go. And what did he ask for? He said, I want you to bless me. So Jacob asked for the blessing, but God gave him what he needed, not what he asked for. What did God do? The Bible said God reached down and touched the hollow of his thigh and went out of joint. He broke him physically, spiritually, and mentally. He broke him so that he could be a different person. Because Jacob was a supplanter, but God wanted him to be Israel. Jacob wanted to be blessed, but Israel had to be broken. And so prayer is effective. Prayer is effective. Not only will he give you more than you can ask for, not only will he exceed your desires, but many times if you have this relationship with God, he will not give you what you ask for, but he will give you what you need. Because blessing is what he wanted, but breaking is what he needed. And so when he walked back to his family, everything was different.
They not only saw a physical difference, but from that day forward, they saw a marked difference in the man. Amen. Brother J.T. Pugh always said, the reason Joseph was different from his brothers, because his older brothers, they were vile men. They were men of anger and war. They were hard men. And he said the reason that Joseph was different than his brothers is because Joseph had a different kind of daddy. They were raised by a supplanter, and Joseph was raised by a prince. There was difference because he had been broken. And so when you really have a relationship with God, God will not just give you what you ask for, but he will give you what you need. Amen. There's power in prayer. It's effective. Amen. Moses prayed, and it was effective. Exodus 32 and 9. Then the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, in Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Moses had such a relationship with God that he could appeal to his nature and say, God, you brought them out. You didn't bring them out to destroy them. You brought them out to take them into the promised land. You didn't bring them out to have them perish. You brought them out to have them saved. And so he appealed to them through his relationship. And I love this. Moses didn't just appeal to him through his relationship, but he reached on back. He said, hey, wait a minute. Don't forget Abraham. He's your friend, right? Don't forget Isaac. He's the one you chose. He's the promised son. He is the son of their old age. He's the one that the blessing flows through. And then don't forget Israel. Remember, you broke him and you changed his name. He's a prince that had power with God. Remember, you promised them that you would multiply, that you would bless, that you would show them and make them a great nation. Don't forget that, Lord. And so through relationship, his prayer was effective. He reminded God of what he had promised. And then we see Elijah. Elijah's prayer was effective. James 5 and 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. That's Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Prayer is effective. Amen. The Syrophoenician woman prayed for deliverance for her child. She was a dog. She was a Gentile. She was unworthy, but her prayer made a difference. Even the crumbs which fall from the master's table are given to the dogs. And he said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Prayer works. The early church prayed. Acts 12 and 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then, of course, he was set free. Why is the church willing to live in the shallows of religion and not in the depths of relationship? Why can the church not shake from sleep and take the sleep out of our eyes? It's because we refuse to take the privilege of prayer. We must understand the magnitude, the power, and the hope, and the royalty that we have access to through prayer. Amen. It is so important for us to pray. Why? Because prayer is where we sacrifice ourselves. Prayer is the altar. Have you ever, when you go to prayer, have you ever felt, oh, man, this is hard? It is. It's hard because it's hard. Prayer is really spelled W-O-R-K. It's work. It's work. It takes discipline to pray. Now, when you break through into that realm of relationship, it's beautiful. It's the sweet hour of prayer. But before you get there, it's the hard few minutes of prayer. And a few minutes feels like an hour, right? When you're trying to break through, when you're trying to get your mind right. You know, what is it always said? You know, if you want to remember what you hadn't done, just pray. You remember all the calls you need to make and all the thank you cards you need to write and all the laundry that wasn't done, the trash that wasn't taken out. If you want to remember something, just try to get along with God and pray. Because it won't be long. You'll start remembering all the stuff you need to do. Prayer is work. But prayer is privilege. Prayer is privilege. Amen. Men who are weak and anemic in the spirit are generally those men who refuse to pray. Prayer needs to be entertained at all times. Pray without ceasing. Amen. We must pray. We crawl up on the altar of prayer and we offer ourselves. As Isaac allowed Abraham to strap him to the altar and to lift up the knife, we have to crawl onto the altar of prayer. It is an audience with the king. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. John the Baptist understood. He said, I must decrease so that he can increase. And I've noticed the longer I stay away from real prayer, the longer I stay away from dying on the altar of prayer, the more I think about myself. Amen. I worry more. I get frustrated easier. I think how unfair life is. You know, nobody loves me. I guess I'll just go eat worms. Yeah. You know, when I haven't prayed, I'm Eeyore. When I have prayed, I'm Pooh. Well, one's always happy, and one's always sad. It doesn't matter what you do to them, right? Amen. We need to pray because it transforms our life. Next week, we're going to talk about, Lord, teach us to pray. We're going to talk about the function of prayer, and I'm going to give you some principles that will help you. And if you can use some principles and outline, sometimes when you're having trouble praying, that's why we've used praying through the tabernacle. That's why we use the Lord's Prayer. And we'll talk about both of those methods next week as we get into some more practical things about how to increase your prayer time. But just remember this week, it is a privilege. It's a privilege to pray. It's an audience with the King. Amen. Can we stand? We're going to have a powerful time in this second hour. It's going to be great. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what we feel in this house.